Welcome to the Outpatient Surgery Magazine podcast collection. Outpatient Surgery Magazine hosts conversations with experts from the outpatient surgery community on topics that impact your world today. We hope these conversations will help stakeholders from outpatient facilities, associations, and industry across the country focus on the future and generate ideas and solutions for safe surgery together.
Hello, and welcome to the Outpatient Surgery Magazine's podcast collection, where we speak to experts in the field on hot topics that affect your outpatient world. I'm your host, B. Riemschneider-Ebling, Senior Director of the Outpatient Surgery Division of AORN, and I'd like to thank you for joining us as we delve into the amazing growth of orthopedic surgery in the outpatient world. It's an evolution that has not slowed down one bit, and it's a situation that requires smart solutions for instrumentation in particular. In this podcast episode, sponsored by OneTray, we will be discussing the solutions and strategies that will allow all types of orthopedic procedures to be performed in the ambulatory surgical environment and offer the patient a safe surgical journey. OR leaders are looking for efficiency, practical solutions, and innovative ways to accommodate the challenges of fitting all the necessary instrumentation in their environment and space. Our guest is David Jagrosi, an industry expert with more than 30 years of experience, who will share his insights into this evolution in orthopedic care. We will discuss the current landscape and its challenges, and practical solutions for this important specialty. OneTray has transformed the approach to instrumentation and sterilization for ambulatory centers to allow facilities to meet the demands of more cases. The company's mission is to provide the highest quality products supported by years of reliable service. Welcome to our podcast entitled One Size Does Not Fit All, The Journey to Orthopedic Instrument Solutions, and welcome our special guest. Welcome, David, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello.
You've worked in this space for many years and have seen growth, especially in orthopedic. Our audience will be interested to hear what you have to say about the advances and the challenges outpatient surgery leaders are facing today as they navigate this growth in their businesses. So let's get started with the first question. So, yes, I just said the orthopedic space is literally booming as facilities add new service lines and plan for more volume in the future. So have you seen that growth in the ASC world yourself? And have you witnessed some of the challenges that come with this very fast pace? And I would ask, what challenges jump out at you first?
Oh, great. And I just want to say I'm very excited to be here and thank you for having me. Yes, I see this firsthand, you know, in my consulting world when I'm either doing audits or whether I'm helping facilities with design for new facilities. There has been a big shift in the market, as we all clearly have seen, from orthopedics being hospital-based to going over to ASCs or independent centers or separate buildings off-site from the hospital. And certainly they present their own set of challenges, and some of them being that it's going to be quite different if you are designing something new, but if you're taking an existing center and modifying that center to become an orthopedic center, that in itself presents some of the bigger challenges, at least from a reprocessing and sterilization standpoint.
Right. That is very true. So as you know, one size does not fit all. Obviously, a lot of customized ASC locations have been popping up. So can you talk about how this maxim relates specifically to the instruments and the instrument trays in orthopedic surgeries? And how does instrumentation differ depending on the surgery, maybe? Another follow-up. And then if you could speak to what ASC leaders are doing to accommodate all this and to work more efficiently.
Sure, absolutely. Certainly, if you've even worked in a main hospital setting, orthopedics in general presents its own challenge because of the sheer volume of equipment, of surgical instrumentation. It's a beast. There are a lot of trays. If you're doing a knee or a hip, and then if you're doing bilateral, I mean, in one instance, in one of the hospitals I was at, there was 40 loaner trays for one patient doing a bilateral knee. So you could imagine this is challenging at a main hospital. Now we move over into the ASC surgical setting, and you can imagine some, these facilities perhaps were designed to do same-day surgeries, maybe more general surgery, not this specialized surgery. So falling back on some of my design projects, you know, it's a challenge. Some of these centers didn't have mechanical washers. They didn't have the sink capacity. The sinks were not big enough. So it does present a challenge. And that's actually in the processing area. But then when you come back to the drop-off areas or receiving areas, the vendors have to have an area where they actually show up and drop off all these trays. So there are logistics both before you get to the processing area and then within the processing area itself. You may need case carts to accommodate all this equipment. Once you are able to wash it properly, send it through for sterilization. We've even encountered some instances where the sterilizers weren't large enough because we tend to have smaller sterilizers in these facilities that maybe could only hold one or two surgical instrument pans. So yeah, really have to look at that design. And then once it's all sterile, now we're dealing with case carts, and they're probably very rarely are there surgical centers that can spare extra space. So, you know, you start getting a case cart that's longer versus taller, you're going to use up a lot of your available space in that setting.
Right. And as we just said, the one size does not fit all certainly raises a lot of questions depending on exactly the type of orthopedic surgery we're talking about. So I know you're overviewing for the audience that space is an issue,
yes.
No question about it. So what kind of advice would you then give to an ASC leader who, and if you want to go into specific types of surgical procedures, that's fine. Just what advice would you give them to make that work? You mentioned sinks, washers, and dedicated space in general. So, and can you give an example maybe of what you did to solve that?
Sure. I mean, some of the, you know, everything is based on instructions for use, IFUs nowadays. So if you're bringing in specific types of surgical equipment that require, for example, sonication, it needs to be put in an ultrasonic. You know, in a surgical setting, we used to have little tabletop sonics. So you really got to look at the design. You really got to look at the workflows and ensure that you're going to be able to meet the specifications laid out in the IFUs for this equipment, such as a sonic. Is the sink wide enough to accommodate the instrument set for soaking and placement in the sink itself? And then, of course, the washer. If you have a mechanical washer, you want to make sure that it has a decent amount of capacity because, as I mentioned, this is a very voluminous type of surgery where you have a lot of equipment. So you want to make sure you have that throughput all the way through to the sterilizer. When you get on to sort of the, and this applies to the decontam side, but you want to make sure that you have a similar setup to a main hospital, and that would include magnification, borescope, if applicable. We need to be able to inspect and view this equipment on the clean side and then prepare it for sterilization and get it through the sterilizer and then onto that case cart.
That's very good. You mentioned loaners, and could you, I know the audience knows what loaners are, but can you paint a picture a little bit of what the challenges are specifically with loaners for an ASC?
Sure. And, you know, most of us know the lingo. I kind of live in my world of sterile processing lingo. So, you know, there are consignment trays that a vendor may say, these can live at your facility and they live on your shelf, but you don't own them. And then loaners are truly what they sound like. The vendor, there's a case on Wednesday and the vendor will be dropping off the trays for the procedure. And then when the procedure is over, they're going to come and pick those trays up, or they may actually push them back to you for another procedure. So this is where you're almost at capacity with your shelving space and your case carts, and then you start adding loaner equipment. I like to use the analogy of, fitting a square peg into a round hole. You really got to get out your file and shave that block to fit in the round hole if it's an existing facility. And if you're building a facility, then you want to take these things into consideration.
Right. And you mentioned building a new facility, and that's what's happening a lot in the ASC world. There are new ones online and launching. What do you recommend that the leaders pay attention to specifically for new builds? And then you've already alluded to renovating, if you could also speak about the renovation side, but the new builds first.
Sure. There is, I would always refer people to the standards. I'm a voting member on multiple AMI committees. AAMI is the group that writes and develops our standards. Within that group, they do have a construction document that can help guide people for new construction. So I would refer to the standards. I would look across the board. Are you doing scope processing at this facility? Is it strictly orthopedics? Just refer to your standards, because you do have to meet your standards. If you're part of a hospital, you're going to want that facility to have accreditation. Even if you're not part of a hospital, I know some standalones that have gone for accreditation, and you want to be able to meet those standards.
That's very good advice. And on the renovation side, do you have maybe an example of what you've seen done right in a renovation to accommodate what we're talking about here?
Yes, there are some really good centers out there, but I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately, they were new construction. So we were able to meet the standard and take into consideration what we were trying to do. Now, for the older facilities, this is where, and I would say this applies to new and old construction, because I mentioned 40 trays, right, earlier for that patient. Well, out of those 40 trays, we start getting into utilization. How many of those trays are actually opened and actually used on a patient? The number can vary. Let's say, for the sake of this conversation, it's half. Well, if I can figure out a way to reduce 40 trays down to 20, and if I could figure out a way, remember earlier I said I have limited capacity. I have smaller washer. I have a smaller sterilizer, so I can have better throughput. That's really where the product come in, the total solution that's offered by OneTray, because they have worked with physicians and that work in ASCs, and they've looked at a standard total knee setup by X vendor. We won't name vendor names, but if it was vendor X, they've worked with physicians. If there was 10 instrument trays that are typically used, they have the ability to reduce those 10 trays down to, let's say, 4 trays. So you're cutting the processing in half, and you're able to actually sterilize faster because you're using the one tray, and you'll have much better throughput. That's really the solution. They call it the total solution. That really is the solution, and how you fit that round peg into the square fitting.
Yeah, it does sound like relationships then are very important to customize what's going on in an individual ASC. And you mentioned one tray. Is there something you'd like to elaborate a little bit more on that solution?
Yes, that would be great, because it's almost a partial warning or a heads up that within my space, within the sterile processing space, we can't just take the loaner trays. These medical trays or surgical instrument trays that are coming in are cleared by the FDA as configured. So the way that they come to you is the way that they were approved and cleared through the FDA. and you really can't go and reconfigure trays. You cannot add, delete, or manipulate these trays independently. There is a way to do that. It's fairly complex, but when I mention that the company, OneTray, is able to reconfigure those trays, they did obtain those validations. They did reconfigure them and obtain those validations so that if you were going through an accreditation, they wouldn't come in and say, you know, what was the process that you took these 10 trays and reduced them down to 5? Oh, well, we just grabbed them and threw them in a pan. You know, you might find yourself in a little regulatory problem. Accreditation problem, if you do it that way, whereas you can produce the documents to say, I work with this company, we reconfigured the trays, and here's all the validations.
Well, that sounds like a very, very important step in the whole process.
That's key.
In what's a very complicated journey. But as I said in the introduction, it is booming. The facilities are gearing up to accommodate more types of orthopedic surgery, and this is a very important area for us to be talking about. So, David, I want to thank you for sharing some detail and some insights on just how orthopedic facilities can take advantage of some new solutions and efficiencies. And obviously, the goal is to better serve patients. And OR teams can approach surgical procedures that they may not have been able to add to their service lines. We hope everyone here has learned something you didn't know before, and that David's comments have resonated with our listeners as they look to their own practices. Outpatient Surgery Magazine would like to sincerely thank OneTray for sponsoring this podcast. We hope the show has inspired our listeners to plan for their futures. Please go to OneTray.com. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you, David, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Outpatient Surgery Magazine podcast collection. We invite you to listen to more episodes in our community section online at www.outpatientsurgery.net and visit the Outpatient Surgery website often for new and exciting content.